Up next, we're talking money with the man responsible for fee-only financial planning in Ohio, founder of the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, and expert advisor to the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and U.S. News & World Report. It's the only financial planning show on radio, Managing to be Wealthy, with your host, John Sestina.
Good evening. Welcome to Managing to be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina, and with me tonight, Tony Payne, Stephen Lucan, Certified Financial Planners. Good evening, guys.
Great to be here with you.
It's good to be here as well. Well, we're going to deal with a topic that's not so pleasant tonight, but is certainly a big topic in our financial world for most Americans, as over 50% of marriages now end in divorce. So we're going to kind of cover the aspects of divorce planning financially. There's no psychological evaluations here and no marital counseling or any of that sort of thing, but we're going to try to help you go through the various aspects of this divorce process that may help you in preparing for the divorce and making it a little less taxing, and pay particular attention to older women and some other aspects like that. So with that, we want to start talking about how to get ready. The first piece of this is probably separation.
Right.
And we've seen this with clients where, you know, they're getting upset with each other and so forth. And the first thing that happens, he or she moves out of the house, or in some cases, depending on the advice of the attorney, they're both in the same place. And there are some things they need to consider at that point. So we want to walk through those things. So what are some of the points that someone living or having to living separated, what should be some of the points they should consider?
Well, I'd like to even throw the question back to you because you have a little bit of more experience than I do.
I'm not divorced. What are you talking about?
With divorce, but financial planning, John, come on. Right? It's like, I know nothing about marriage. I've only been married once, right?
Yeah, right.
Marriage advice. So the question I throw to you is, when you hear about whether it's amicable or not, and you're going through an amicable situation, thankfully, a lot of times you do see that scenario come up where it's an acceptance of reality, it's not working. And you say, they say, well, we want to do this by ourselves because it's amicable.
Well, if it's amicable, if they do it quickly, my experience is that when someone says it's amicable, if they do it quickly, the couple sits down and arranges quickly, that could work. But if it drags out past 30 days, then 60 days, then 90 days, for some reason, you know, the embers turn into fire and then there's a blaze and things get pretty nasty. So I'm not sure about the amicable. There are some amicable ones. I know of some divorces where the ex-husbands and ex-wives get along famously and the kids don't have any confusion as to who daddy is and mommy is, and they share the children appropriately and so forth. So it can be amicable to some extent, but don't let it go on too long or it could flame into a blaze.
Right, because the idea is you're still married legally. So
that's
even
exactly
if you
right.
were separated, thinking of yourself independently, until all those documents are done, it may still be a shared asset pool, shared lifestyle. So that's very important when you're thinking again how to clean things up or that beginning. You've got to realize until it's all official, it's still there. It's still a group project. I hate to say it that way, but it is, until it's official.
That's exactly right.
And then how do you foresee representation as far as attorneys?
Well, I think it's always better to each have his or her own attorney, because if you have the same attorney, if it's amicable, maybe you could do it with one attorney, but if it's not amicable, you need separate representation, in my opinion. I'm no lawyer, so you want to check with the lawyers regarding this, but I think that's what we've seen to be the most successful approach.
Right.
And going along with that too, again, not lawyers here, but I've been approached. People would say, hey, we think this is simple. We can just go do it ourselves, save all that money on lawyers. There's complexities beyond what you may think of yourself. You may even be able to go through and do the mechanics of it, but all the other caveats that go along with that, that's where typically you want to have an expert involved anyway, even if it is, quote, simple, because there's a lot 10 years from now you might go, geez, I wish I would have done that.
Exactly. Right. So that's why you need the professionals.
Yeah, and I think I ask these questions because what I've seen, unfortunately, I've helped these situations help solve the problem as far as how do you divide. The division of assets is easy. Right. You can look at it and say, OK, it's 50-50 if that's what you agree upon. But it's the other aspects that comes down to state law alimony, how long you've been married, depending upon what state you're in. And I see that's where the challenges usually come up.
Right. Well, we may also see that there are challenges in the what you own and don't own. So the first step in all of this is to realize your life is going to change dramatically. And recognize also that the amount of money and so forth you've been living on, when you divide it in two, it's less than it was. So your lifestyle is going to change dramatically. In my opinion, the number one financial mistake anyone can make in their lives is divorce, because it harms both parties, definitely harms the children from what we hear. And so it's a financial disaster for most people. So recognize things are going to change and you're going to have to make some severe adjustments to your life. So beware of that. So be budget wise. You need to sit down and start making your own budget, even if your partner is not cooperating with you. You have to understand, find out what are the sources of the income. Where are they coming from? And those sources involve such things as dividends. You have to pay attention to, or interest from savings and checking account, who knows what. But you need to look at what are the sources. You're going to develop a real budget, maybe for the first time in your life. And this has to be as thorough as you can make it. Tony, your favorite subject.
We like those. I like them. I mean, it's planning. It's not a budget in the sense of what am I going to spend, but lifestyle. What have I been spending? And in relation to divorce, and you've always taught us this, one of the number one reasons people feel like they're behind is their house poor. So when you're first separating or divorcing, or you're in that where do I move to phase, where do I live, you've got to swallow a little bit what you guys just said. Take two, divide it, you're left with half.
That's
you're
right.
Not left with the same two. So that standard of living that the two of you may have been able to do, I mean, think about it, shared cable bill, shared utilities, all that stuff. Now you're out on your own. That one standard of living, you've really got to do your numbers, or you may just come out and be house poor right away.
And don't forget and all the deposits and so forth on your electric and your whatever else there is out there.
And even if kids are involved, it's not necessarily dividing it in half from a cost perspective. It's probably one half plus something, because there's a lot of repetition, right, on that expense for the child, where it may have been one cost, but now you need two bedrooms, one in the mom's house and one's in the dad's house. That's adding to the household cost that once was.
That's exactly right. So you need to think in terms of where am I going to move? Let's say that you're going to eventually sell the house or whatever you have right now, and you're each going to go off. So each needs to decide, where am I going to live? And you need to go window shopping and figure out what it is. And look, as you say, Stephen, for the two-bedroom house, apartment, whatever it is, instead of the one bedroom, which you might think is simple when you divorce. But you need to do that in your budgeting. What is it going to cost to set up your new household, so to speak? And that might be a bit surprising. The other thing is, remember, as you're doing all this, if you're beginning to separate, remember the old golden rule: do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Now, that would be amicable, Stephen.
Yes, yeah.
Usually yeah. We don't see that rule apply as people are getting close to their divorce situation. So that's something to watch out for, the golden rule. Just remember you had some good years. There was a reason you came together. And if there are children, remember the children. You want to make it as smooth as possible for them so that they are not, no matter what their age, by the way. We've seen older children and so forth, so be aware of that. Well, it's time for us to take a break. When we come back, we'll pick up on this discussion. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.
You're listening to the only financial planning show on radio. Taking your questions tonight is WTVN's own resident money expert, certified financial planner, author of Planning a Successful Future, and founder of one of America's leading financial planning firms, John Sestina.
Good evening. Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina, and with me tonight, Stephen Lucan, Tony Payne, both certified financial planners. And we're talking about the unseemly topic of divorce. No one really wants to talk about that, but we're looking at it from the financial point of view to help you prepare yourself if that's the direction you and your spouse are planning to take, and hopefully make it a little less stressful, because that situation is definitely stressful. When we took our last break, we were talking about setting up a budget, understanding what it's going to cost you to live. And remember, as I think one of you already said, that you're not dividing up just assets and income. You're dividing up responsibility And that's the responsibility for what? You know, it all depends. And so if you have children, what about the health care for those children, even if the children are living with the other spouse? Those kinds of issues. So the cost there. So prepare yourself psychologically to understand what you're going to be spending money on.
And that's where a good attorney would help bring out those questions, the what ifs, and you know, the scenarios, college or a wedding, saving for a wedding or for college. What if that college was funded by one of the spouse's parents?
Right.
So now you have grandparents funding the college. How does that affect the future of the other spouse who was college was taken care for? Is that still the same goal?
Mm-hmm.
How is it going to be funded? So that's where the communication comes into play.
Right. Communication is the biggest asset here. I know it's sometimes difficult in these circumstances, but it makes all the difference in the world. So communicate, communicate, communicate. So work on that with your soon-to-be ex-spouse. Who knows, you may get back together and it might be better because you work so well together. So pay attention to that. If you're going to make any changes, any big changes, please realize that the spoken world, in the old days, you could walk up to a guy, handshake, pat on the back, it was a deal, everyone agreed. Well, these days, that doesn't exist. So if you're going to make any major change, buy a new appliance, for example, for your new place, you need to get written permission from the other spouse, because otherwise they're going to come back and it could be a point of contention at the very worst.
Especially from a debt side, right? Buying it is easy. If you're using cash, that's an easy transaction. But from the debt perspective, make sure you're transparent on all assets and liabilities. So that's a very important aspect of the separation of that.
Exactly.
Right. We've got many horror stories, I'm sure, but one to illustrate that point, though, that it's still, quote, marital assets until it's final. Person A stayed in the house. Person B left the house. Person A sets up video cameras, the Ring doorbell, all that, to make sure that nothing was being removed from the house. Person B, entitled to come and get their things, unplugs all the cameras. Court says, you're allowed to do that. It's still your house.
Yeah.
You didn't take them. You didn't do anything. No, you just unplugged it. You
right.
didn't want to be recorded in your home. That's okay. So those sorts of things you have to talk through. You can't just perhaps be cutesy about it. You've got to talk through with the attorneys or who's involved to say, what are my rights? Reality, take an inventory. That's what happens there. And then you can say, these were the assets we had together.
Right, and identify your assets. One of the horror stories is a couple who have been trying to divorce for about 8 years now. And one day, one of the spouses took off on a trip, was gone for about a week. And when that person came back, all these special things that were owned by that spouse were given away or sold away while this person was gone. And that's legit because they were still married and their marital assets. There was no separation. So pay attention, prepare, get ready, talk to your spouse, try to communicate in the best way you can.
And be transparent.
And be transparent as you can. Try to keep as unemotional as is possible. I know that's a difficult thing. Well, let's move on and talk about ways that this setting yourself financially for divorce. And let's talk about some things that people ought to be aware of. And what's the first one, guys?
Well, we already touched upon it, is creating that living expense number, tracking your expenses. And that's an important, and we can't stress that enough, because you're creating a brand new financial plan for yourself. So, you know, be aware of what your expenditures are, what kind of lifestyle you're going to have, and that's going to help as part of easing into that new part of your life.
Exactly. And also be aware, you know, when people separate, friends and neighbors take sides. Even relatives take sides. So be aware of well-meaning advice. Some people are telling you do this, do that. If they don't know what they're talking about, then you might be in big trouble if you're going to follow that well-meaning advice from the uninformed or unprofessional. So watch out for that one. The next thing is, as you said, we need to track expenses. So while the process is going on, you need to track expenses. If you haven't been doing it before, that's a form of the budget thing we're talking about. And then the next one is something we are famous for, and that's gather the documentation. You really need to know what's out there. It's so amazing. As we have a new client, we ask them to supply us with all the data that they have. They can't find it sometimes. They don't know where it is, or it's wrong, or whatever the case may be. So imagine in a divorce circumstance when you're trying to gather data and only one person knows about it, and you're trying to get that, and they may not want to give it to you, which is just foolhardy because that's going to come back and bite them in the end.
Right. We're talking about things to do. Here's one not to do. Don't hide anything. Don't think that you can set up that account somewhere else or move money and put it in your dad's account or whatever. Those sorts of games are very traceable. There's an entire profession built around that called forensic accounting. Ask any of the drug dealers, embezzlers, all that. That's where they really make their money. Your divorce cases are the small end, but they know how to track down those dollars and say, what were you hiding? Would you move? Who'd you make owner of this to try to be cutesy?
And the minute that happens or you get caught, that individual gets caught, guess what?
Right.
It gets ugly. That's where it goes. That's where the
sure
fuse
does.
Is lit.
Ugly, undone, and most of all, you're going to have to pay your attorney to work out what happens with that when you could have already had it spelled out. It's going to cost you more money in the long run.
Well, and that's one of the reasons in our case, if a person is a client, we have all the data and it's readily available to both spouses.
It always has been, right?
Always has been, right? And so they can see in detail everything they own, all the checking accounts, the savings accounts, the IRA accounts, other retirement accounts, you know, stock option plans, whatever they might have out there is all readily available, assuming that we have it. So one of the things that happens is very often someone will call and say, I'm getting divorced, and we have to inform them that we're going to be able to, we have to supply until directed otherwise by a lawyer. We have to share that information with both parties as long as they are still together. Once the divorce occurs, they tell us how to split the assets. We can do that. But in the short term, recognize what you said, Tony. Don't try to hide anything. So often we hear the rumors and the stories where people indeed do that. And I would suggest that in the majority of times it comes back to bite you.
Right. And that's where it leads to that, you know, the mental preparation of how are you going to deal with a stubborn spouse? And there may be some bad blood there. Amicable, you can exchange information on a readily basis. But if all of a sudden it's an adversarial situation, it's going to take the attorneys to say, I need this information. And that's going to add time. That's going to make things a little bit more difficult and challenging.
Right. And that's one of the hard things sometimes. You think sometimes these may start amicably. Someone wants to go down that road, keep expenses low, whatever. And through that process, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. It's like John said earlier, if you can do it yourselves, do it right away before the embers start burning and come up again. But it can be very messy, and that communication is good. But you also want to make sure that if it is getting messy, you go through the right channels.
You bet. Well, looks like we're running out of time again. We've got a whole lot more to cover on this subject, so we hope you'll continue to listen. And this is proving helpful to you. In the meantime, we have to take a break. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN. Good evening. Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina, and with me tonight, Tony Payne, Stephen Lucan, both certified financial planners, and we're dealing with the unseemly topic of divorce. And you may have, as you're sitting there and listening to this thing, wherever your condition, you may have some personal questions you want to run by a financial planner. Financial planner is very valuable in this process. So you might call our office at 614-326-3077 and ask for an appointment. It's complimentary, of course, with one of our planners, and perhaps they can be of some value to you. If you're a little shy, Tony, what else can they do?
They can also email us at info@managingtobewealthy.com. Send a question over there. We love hearing topics from our listeners. Also, we're on Facebook, too, /managingtobewealthy. So a few different ways to reach out there. And lo and behold, we also have a workshop upcoming, too, this August.
So, yeah, when is that happening?
Well, there was one last night, and then the next one's next week, and then a following week. So there are 3-week increments there, and we really try to give a rundown of a bait. I mean, it's so much to cover, but a base introduction of financial planning, give people the tools that they can do some of the work themselves and learn a little bit and be able to ask questions with someone who doesn't have a bias of selling products.
Right. We give them a book and a workbook, and there's no charge for any of this. They just get to have it and learn and learn and learn. So that's what we like. That's what we're trying to do is educate, educate, educate. So let's get back to our sad topic of divorce. And we were talking about how to prepare yourself financially for the divorce situation. And we come back to one we kind of mentioned when you were preparing as to separate. It's the same one, which is refrain from any big financial decisions. And so what are some of those, somebody?
Don't go buy a new car.
That's right.
Something like that. Don't overextend on what the second residence may be. Some of those are the common things. But just be careful when you're going out spending money. Don't be brash or and just a knee-jerk reaction to something.
You mean don't run up your credit cards to the limit?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And seeing this firsthand, John, I feel like I'm inheriting some gray hairs over here. I've got them all over now. But the idea of throughout this whole time to see a few divorces happen, there's some guilt factor, I think, sometimes that goes in, especially if there are children involved. And what I have seen is sometimes there's guilt spending, I guess.
That's a good way to say it.
Where you almost run up the card, try to take the kids somewhere, give them extras, all of that.
Right.
And you may not even know what your financial life holds. So again, you may have that feeling, but just perhaps spending the plastic or spending money there, that's not the way to do that, especially while you still may be uncertain on your future. I mean, you can help those kids later, perhaps, but that big spending during the moment, that can come back and get you.
Yeah, you really need to pump the brakes and be more on the conservative side when it comes to the spending and even the savings. You know, save for that emergency fund, because now you need two emergency funds. Each party will need their own. So that the spending needs to be reduced, the saving needs to be increased, because you're going to need to have flexibility and options at a later point.
Exactly. And if you have some things you really think you need to deal with, that's when you ask your attorney. You know, there are legal options here that you can isolate a form, some money that you can buy or do something with the money. But do it again through your legal advice, and don't make any big decisions without checking with your legal advice.
Right, and that's why you say divorce is a worse financial situation for all parties, because the attorneys are very expensive.
Very,
but they're needed. They need to make sure you're doing the right things at the right time.
Well, and especially for the more complex, you've got two scenarios almost. One where the family shared everything. Perhaps one person was the breadwinner outside the house, the other took care of children or something. All kinds of dynamics there. Or perhaps they kept separate bank accounts, each had their own jobs outside the house. That's a completely different scenario than if you were providing that one lifestyle. It's a lot cleaner sometimes if things were already separate. But that's another angle, I guess, of complexity here where the attorneys really get involved.
Well, and you're right about the attorney. You need a good one. I remember the first full blast divorce I confronted many years ago. And this single lady, she was actually a widow and she had inherited a lot of money. And this guy came along who was less than wonderful. And so she's trying to divorce him. And the lawyer started out by saying, okay, we need a $70,000 deposit for them
retainer.
To have.
Retainer?
Yep,
wow.
Just to get it going. And you're right, it's the retainer, which means it could be a whole lot more than that. And guess what? It was.
Wow.
It can be a lot of money. So recognize that's part of the I don't know, cost, I want to say penalty, of going through this process.
That's why it's a terrible situation.
It is, yep. So, but along this line, you need to know when to get help. That's really, really valuable. This is not something you can walk down this path alone. And yes, you can have your relatives, your parents, and so forth, who are going to let you lean on their shoulder and comfort you and so forth, and perhaps say bad things about your spouse. But we're talking about professional help. Go ahead, Tony.
Well, you're hitting on it, John. From the conferences we've all been going to, one of the great seminar sessions really sitting through and people I've spoken with, cross professions, the therapists out there, the attorneys out there. We say it 100 times here. We're not attorneys. So it's almost like someone would go find an attorney that deals with the legal matter, but who does the financial planning?
Right.
So they don't always necessarily build the complete team. It may be, I have an attorney or I just have the accountant. It's a complete team that does this.
Well, and indeed, if you have a good financial planner who does have all the documentation, when the attorney calls and says, or when the person's going to go see the attorney doesn't have to do all the investigation, digging up, and there's a lot of cost in that. We just turn it over to them. They can verify it and see that it's the truth. That hopefully saves our clients money, which is right down the street we like to walk. Save our clients some money.
And the irony is, even with a good financial planner, you can save the household money, right? So you can basically, if you went and did things with a meat axe and just chopped everything up, you may be left with $50. But if you do it the right way, you may be left with $75 that the two of you can split, that extra $25. So to doing it the right way is so critical, and that's where a financial planner can come into play.
Exactly.
That's that cross-professional part, too, because sometimes a person may come after the divorce to a financial planner. Well, during that process, exactly what you were saying, Stephen, you may have been the person running the business or you have some other asset, whatever it may be. It may not be your typical just go down the middle, treat it like an assembly line divorce. With some planning, you may be able to say, well, let's equalize this. Let's move this over there where more parties are happy. Certainly, they try to do that. But the attorneys, just like we say we're not attorneys, they're not financial planners either.
Right. And they become the buffers in the whole situation as well. Instead of, say, the man and woman arguing with each other about something, the buffer can be the attorney or the accountant or the financial planner or someone like that to help them better understand in a pragmatic way what the circumstances are. So be aware of that. The accountants are in play. The counselor, that is a mental counselor, may be in play. Maybe your pastor or your rabbi or whomever should be in play as well. So you need all these people around you because you're going to be kind of in shock. It's like you just had an accident. You're typically in shock for a brief period of time and you're not thinking clearly. So the same thing is true here when this is affecting you. So be aware of those things. So be sure you surround yourself with good advice because that'll save you some aggravation and some time and certainly make your life a whole lot easier. So guys, we've got a lot more to cover on this subject. We now want to move into some of the tax planning aspects of this, but we're going to have to do that after the break. So we just want you to know, join us again after the break. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.
We're talking all your money questions live. It's financial planning. It's investments. It's managing to be wealthy. With your host, America's father of fee-only financial planning, SIFA's Financial Planner of the Year, and a nationally recognized source for financial planning advice, John Sestina.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina, and with me tonight, Stephen Luca and Tony Payne, both certified financial planners. And we're dealing with a kind of touchy subject tonight, divorce and all the ramifications of that. We're no attorneys and we're not the accountants and we're none of those things. So we're dealing with the financial planning aspects of this and trying to give you some touch points that you can make this less hazardous or painful as you can. So we're now up to the point of dealing with taxation. And with that, we have to right away point out that the tax law has changed regarding what aspect of this?
Well, it comes down to the aspect of alimony paid and alimony received, where effective January 1 of 2019, any alimony paid is no longer tax deductible, where that used to be the case. You could deduct it on your tax return, and the recipient of the alimony would have to report it as income. I've been trying to figure out the why behind this. I know with the IRS, you should never ask why.
Yeah, that's right. It's one of the bad questions.
But the only thing I can see is that they figure the person paying the alimony is in a higher tax rate. So they're just basically squeezing a few more tax dollars out of it. But regardless, it's an important thing to remember. So for those who are going through a divorce right now, I hate to say it, but you've got to tell your attorneys or whomever you're working with to get it done before December 31st. So that's an important aspect to the change in the tax law.
Exactly. Tony?
No, you've got it. That's a big deal, too, because planning, not just reacting, you could perhaps be doing something else on your Sunday, perhaps watching a sport or something. But if you just caught that nugget that you just gave, perhaps get on the court docket ahead of time, because we know those things get pushed out forever. Now's probably the time that you have to start pushing to even be reasonable to think that you could have a court date, have it done, not have further delays. I mean, we know how long that process can stretch out, so that's a great nugget for this time of year if you're sadly maybe in that position.
Yeah.
And you want to be talking to your accountant advisor about how you should be filing. You file jointly while you can, or file married but separate, whatever it is, to kind of transition through this sort of a thing. And what about the dependency exemptions? How does that work, guys?
On the new tax law? That's obviously a big decision, right? Who's going to claim the dependents? With the new tax law, kids, you have the child tax credit, so that does apply. So even some tax planning there, if it is an amicable situation, maybe the person who has the higher tax bracket takes the kids as their dependent to get the child tax credit. But if the income is too high, maybe it should be the lower income, because if your income is too high, that those credits are phased out. So some significant tax planning, again, for a good financial planner will say, consider this because you could squeeze the tax dollars a little further.
Right? Exactly.
We've seen the standard for some had been the parents share it. They alternate every other year. But exactly, again, what you just said, planning, if you're doing that planning, you may say, well, we're still divorced. Everything's happening there. But you're going to take that credit and it's going to even up for both of us because it's more valuable for you.
Right. And I've seen couples do that where they will actually negotiate, well, this year it's better for me, next year is better for you, and they do that. And that's kind of an amicable way. It's interesting to see sometimes after a few years of divorce, the parties do become more amicable.
Right.
And they're willing to cooperate.
And that's tax savings can go to the kids.
Exactly.
Right? Spend it on the kids then for the college savings or for clothes, whatever it may be, but find a middle ground. And if there are kids involved, that's a nice reward for the kids then.
Exactly. And what about the residents?
I was just going to bring that up because I think that's a priority to discuss. We just talked about the alimony and the kids, but the house is such a significant part of it because is it affordable on one party's income? And a lot of times you'll see this, John, where if it's not a friendly divorce scenario, you'll see the one party say, well, you just take the house and the equity. The other side might think it's a home run.
Yeah.
But right. What do you think?
Right. I mean, we're kind of laughing here, guys, but that's it.
Right.
Again, I think the industry, whatever, had gotten to the stage that perhaps better to keep the kids in the same house. Maybe that was it. But the idea of that, again, you have half the income, perhaps, or double the expenses, whichever angle you want to come at it with. You may not be able to support that.
Right.
Or if your support lasts for 18 years or whatever, however many years, it may still be better to say, let's downsize now, use these funds elsewhere differently, because this standard of living, this lifestyle, this nice, perhaps big house that we've got with the yard and all that, it's not us anymore.
Well, what about the, so let's say they decide that the house is not appropriate and they want to sell the residence. What are the tax consequences there?
Well, you have to consider, obviously factor in the tax consequences. Is it exempt? Is it under the capital gain exemption amount? But the after tax dollars have to be considered.
Right.
And that's part of the equation.
Right. Because each person individually gets $250,000. You can have that as your gain. Not the sale price of your house, but the gain.
Right.
Or if you're married, you get up to $500,000 of gain before you start paying taxes.
Exactly right. So you may if you make the decision that this party gets the house, now that person is limited automatically to the $250,000. So if you know you're going to have to sell the house, sell it while you're married, use the $500,000 so you can avoid the tax consequences or cost, let's say, of that situation.
And you also have to be factoring, how do you value the house?
Right.
Right.
Well,
what's the valuation of the house? Are you using just that Zillow Zestimate? Give me a break, right?
No, you have to, I want to use one of those internet places. You just put it in right. And your house comes back five times what it's worth.
Exactly.
That's what I want.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a factor too. So the person receiving or wanting to receive the house, I question, be cautious of that. Because it's not always what it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, it may be more emotional of a decision than financial, which you have to run your numbers to know, is that okay for me?
Right, and you have to run the numbers first to see whether or not it can be afforded. And then you're going to have to deal with the emotional aspects of, well, the kids have grown up in this house, and what do we do? And they're still in school, and what about their friends? And do they have to transfer to a new school district, and so on and so forth? So there's a lot of emotion in that decision. The house brings a lot of weight with it. Well, another one that's kind of a surprise to probably a lot of people is the legal fees for divorce are not deductible. And maybe you sit there and say, well, but I'm hiring an attorney. Is that not deductible? The answer is no, it is not deductible. So be aware of that when you're making these various decisions. And then what about the allocation of loss carryforwards? You know, you filed tax returns for years, and now you have all these loss carryforwards. And they're sitting on the tax. They're sitting in this barrel on your tax return. Well, who gets them? Well, how do you apply them? What do you do with those guys as far as your tax planning is concerned?
The other aspect is an audit. What
Yes.
if you get audited from 3 years ago? You all of a sudden get audited. Who's going to pay for it? How is it going to get paid for? Again, you're now dealing back to when you were married.
Yep, and there's also another financial decision that I see most times, and that's life insurance. Usually, the bigger breadwinner will buy life insurance to provide in the event of the children, because that person dies, there's not going to be any alimony or anything else. So they buy life insurance to provide, say, college or welfare for the children, and they name a trust as the beneficiary, and the children are the beneficiaries of the trust. So be aware of that. Life insurance is a big part of the picture.
And it comes down to the ownership, too. If part of the settlement, the divorce decree, is you have to buy life insurance, the other spouse should be the owner of that policy so they can guarantee that the policy is still in force for the benefit of the children.
Exactly right. There's so many of these guys, and we're not going to be able to hit all of them as usual. We always come over prepared for these things, but don't forget the retirement plans when you're looking at all of this, and there's some special provisions there. What's that special thing, Tony?
A qualified domestic relations order. They call it just a quidro for short, but very, very powerful. A judge can almost make anything happen financially. You just have to go through all the hoops, get it done. But there's a lot that could be done there that, again, when we think about what Stephen said earlier, if you're able to plan and do things a little differently, the two of you may end up with more money at the end of this. And that may be something like dividing retirement accounts, because that's where most of your money is, rather than paying out everything from your bank account or something like that.
Right. That's a big decision in the divorce. Well, we've run out of time, dear friends, and we hope you've picked up a few tips from us through this difficult time. But we enjoy trying to give you some education on all topics. This one was a little unseemly, but nonetheless, thank you for listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.